That's right, everybody. It's that time of the week again, bitch. Welcome to another, actually, this is a very special episode of Old School, New School Comedy Podcast, and I am your trash-talking host, Christy Miller. And with me this week is somebody I love more than my life. You have no idea. We go way back 400,000 years, and she's one of my, like, my comedy store sister. We're old school. She's, you know, back in the day, we used to roll together. She used to throw the best gay parties every year. They were so amazing. She's a producer on Funny You Should Ask, the game show with Byron Allen, isn't it? And she has her own podcast with the very funny Vicky Barbalak called Trailer Park. I'm going to screw that up. I'm so
Diaries.
Trailer Diaries. Park Diaries. God damn. See, don't get old. Don't get old.
Oh, I'm trying not to, Christy. I'm trying not to.
This is my fucking love of my life, Miss Shawn Pawlowski.
Oh, the feeling is mutual.
Nah.
Hearts for you, Christy, or should I call you Trout?
Hey, sweetie. Hey, Louis Anderson called, said he wants his look back.
Okay, Trout.
Hey, Trout, what did you have for breakfast, sweetie? Lunch and dinner?
Chaz, could you shut the door? No, you are the door, Chaz.
Hey, Chaz, shut the barn door, sweetie. You're letting the air out.
I don't know why that's always funny to us, but anytime I saw Christy Miller get on stage, and when you would get up there and you would do Cher, and then you would start making fun. Well, it was when Chaz was actually Chastity.
Yeah.
And so it's just you doing Cher. And you just, you know,
yeah,
just taking shots. And it was hilarious. And
it was
from then on, I always talk to you like we're Cher.
Yeah. Everybody does. Like, that bit is such a signature bit now because times have changed since then. And so is Chaz. Hey, sweetie, what the fuck are you? What is your pronoun? Everybody? Thank you. But yeah, my new Cher bit, I actually open with her now. She's the opening of my show, and it's all new Cher stuff. It's insane.
It's so funny. You know, I feel like just doing Cher's voice makes things, just a conversation, a lot better. Like, even if, like, you have to be like, if you'd be like, hey, Chaz, how are you? And I could be like, well, Chaz, I've got cancer. Or, you know, it makes things sound like, hey, way funnier.
My daughter's a cancer. She was born in the beginning of July.
God. Don't get me started on cancers. Anyway.
Right? I hate them too.
The worst. The worst.
The worst. The worst.
Yeah.
I fucking love you so much. I miss you. I need to come home for a while.
Well, TikTok, we've been waiting for that for, like, what, 15 years?
I know. Well, this year.
Other left?
Yeah, I had to. Well, now I'm, like, missing home, and I want to come home, and I'm kind of sick of it out here.
Well, I mean, why would you be sick in New York? I mean, everything, it's like survival of the fittest in that fucking city, and you know that. It's so, it's just rough.
You know what?
It's a rat race.
I don't find it rough. I actually love the convenience of everything. I love the craziness because I'm constantly entertained. Who needs to spend money on a Broadway show when all you have to do is walk outside? And there's always something going on that is just
so
the most amazing shit you ever saw. Like, some amazingly talented people who don't belong on a subway platform or in Central Park that actually belong on television or on radio. And then there's people that just belong in a mental institution. And those are my favorite. That is the show of all shows right there.
Oh, God.
Oh, I mean, love it. I think, so normal.
I think post-COVID, a lot of that is running around in many cities now.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's super crazy, though. I mean, every time I go to New York, like, I have fun visiting. But it's just in my head, I was like, oh, who could live out here, because unless you have a gazillion dollars
yep.
and a driver,
yep.
then maybe. But other than that, it just feels like it's a harder way of living. Maybe that's because it's like the weather combined. Like, it's fun to like walk to wherever you need to go, and the nightlife is great and the restaurants are great. But it's just like, it's also can be a total shit show.
Yeah, but I think that's anywhere you go. Like, I love the convenience. I know, I love that if it's 3 a.m. and if I need something, I can get it. Whether it's a pair of socks, a
heroin,
a crackhead, or just, you know, pimp
a landlord.
or if I feel like getting shot, you know, I can always find that somewhere in the city. It's like within 5 blocks. It's great.
Yeah.
But I love that part about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fabulous city. Don't get me wrong. And it's weird because every time somebody meets me, they're like, what part of New York are you from? And I'm like, Oklahoma. So confusing to people, because it's my parents were born and raised in Brooklyn. So
yeah,
I grew up visiting New York my whole life. New York, New Jersey, Long Island. You know, I've done it all. But it's so funny though. People always think that I'm East Coast.
Yeah. Well, that's because of your parents. It's bred into you. Like, I grew up in San Francisco, when people used to ask me, are you from Brooklyn or are you from New Jersey? And I'm like, I'm from San Francisco. How?
Right.
Like, we are you crazy?
Right. A lot of it. So are you happy that you're not in San Francisco anymore?
Yeah.
Because
I've been happy since 1994 when I left.
Well, I love San Francisco. Is my favorite city, and yet I just think, you know, every time I go there, everything just becomes, you know, everything's like a puzzle or a question there, because you show up and you always feel like you're 100 steps behind their, I don't want to say wokeness, but you are, just the way they recycle. I mean, everything. You land in SFO, and then they already start with the bins. There's like 55 different bins that you can put your shit in. And you're like, okay, it's not just trash and recyclable. It's like landfill, compost. It's like, it's so many different things. And it's like, okay, which one, where does this fork go? You know,
see, that's the game show. Which bin does this belong? And you give people a bunch of shit, and they have to get it right. If they fail, then you shoot them.
When I go to San Francisco, I always, and I'm performing for audiences there, I do that. I'm like, okay, the milk carton, where does it go? And they're like, oh, it goes in, you know, to recycle. I'm like, wrong, compost, you know, and it's just like, I love to call out. And like, I see like people almost divorce, like couples over like where goes, like what goes where.
Oh yeah.
I've been in houses where like two lesbians have had it out because that is not where something goes.
Oh yeah, especially in a lesbian household. That's probably the number one cause of divorce is recycling with lesbians.
I think that'd make a great show, recycling with lesbians.
Yeah. Yeah. On HGTV, Hey Girl Television.
God, Hey Girl Television. That's
what I call HGTV. Hey Girl, because it's always some queen remodeling somebody's fucking crack house. And I go, look at how he's decorated, girl. Even the husband and wife shows, I'm like, girl, your husband's sucking the fucking director's dick behind the curtain. Don't even act like your beard.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if you are going to have your house redecorated, are you really going to go to somebody straight? The answer,
no.
No.
To the no, no, no.
Yeah. To the no, no, no. Little Johnny McGovern right there, huh?
Yep.
So funny. Oh, my God.
I miss our conversations, man.
It's good to be reunited. It's been a while, and, you know, you and I always, like, catch up every like probably like 4 or 5 months. We like we'll get on the phone and we'll really catch up. And it, everything always feels like, I mean, like, oh, gee, like nothing, no time went by.
No.
And I feel like,
yeah.
And I feel like you've always looked the same since I've known you. Like you haven't changed. Like,
yeah.
Neither of you. Great.
Neither of you.
Well, that's with a lot of work.
A lot of work. Hey, which compost compound does Sean's face go in?
It goes in the landfill.
Landmine. Get it, landfill. I'm going to fill this land right here.
That's right. That's the only place for this space. Good God.
Well, I always tell people in life that, like, you just look younger and younger every year. I go, I know. Well, God didn't give me a successful career, so he gave me a fucking face to maintain.
I mean, I tell you, I feel like, you know, if I could just get, like, be Benjamin Button in the beginning, you know, that would be, like, ideal. Like, youth is everything. And I feel like, you know, if you feel like you look good, then that's, you know, that exudes from you. And so, you know, you got to keep your shit up. And people that let that shit fall are like, I don't believe in Botox or I don't. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Keep looking fucking old. Good for you.
I will say this. I've never had Botox.
Yeah. Well, you don't need. You got bangs.
Well, that too. Exactly. That's why I have them. That's the cheap. That's Hotox right here. And but also, Botox. I don't drink, smoke, eat shit. I don't eat processed foods. I eat very clean. I lift weights. And one of a friend of mine who's, of course, he's gay. What are the odds of that in my life? He's a plastic surgeon. I know, me with a gay man?
Never.
He's a plastic surgeon, and he told me, he goes, you have so much muscle in your face, you don't need it. He goes, just leave it alone. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, you're just, your skin is killer. I mean, I do, like, lasers, and, well, I mean, I come from a family of good skin. That's where
you,
I'm lucky.
Always were beautiful, yeah.
Oh, hardly, but I love you for that, but I just keep, like, you know, it's upkeep and it's expensive to do all that.
I spend a shit ton of money on skincare, face washes, you know, pre-wash, like a microdermabrasion scrub I put on at night, like over here around the eyes, on the forehead. Dr. Lancer, hello girl.
Everything.
Love his products. He's in Beverly Hills. You know, I use Dr. Dennis Gross. I use Sunday Riley. I use... you know, Ole Onriksen. I use Peter Thomas Roth. You know, I use
thousands of dollars. Sephora in business, huh?
Oh, yeah. I put the whore in Sephora, darling.
I feel like they have a wall mural of me in the back. And they're like, anytime you see her, just sell her anything and she'll buy it. This bitch is a sucker. Like, I keep them in business for sure.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay, let me tell you how sad my life is. There's five or six Sephoras that know me by heart, and they hug me. We follow each other on Instagram. We hang out. They're like, hey, girl, where are you? Like, I get the royal carpet treatment from them, like out of five Sephoras. It's very sad.
Well, they got to know who their customers are, and apparently it's you and me.
It's the sucker. I'm like, oh, a new highlighter? Oh.
Yeah, I'm just so sad I didn't think of Sephora. Like,
oh.
I wish I had thought of that.
I wish I had jumped on the, like, oh, I'm going to create a makeup line back 10 years ago when it was still worth creating a makeup line. Now it doesn't matter anymore because everybody has one.
Everybody.
Who's your go-to?
But like, there is, I use everything.
Everything. I have
is Huda.
I love her mascara. I love her new mascara.
She is a Jew killing bitch. So I'll say that loud and proud, because anybody who's using Huda, put it down. She is nasty. Follow her online.
Oh, I don't follow
her.
She's too phony for me.
She's terrible.
She a monster. I don't pay attention. The only one I follow is Natasha Denona. I love
her. She's Kuna's part beauty, part Hamas. So I wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. Yeah.
Oh, I would.
Bought into a mascara. I've got another good mascara for you.
Okay,
you
good.
Ever use, am I blanking on it now? Thrive. Thrive has really good.
Oh, I've never tried theirs. I've tried everybody else's.
Yeah, I think they grew from like just Instagram, and Thrive mascara is just wonderful.
All right, I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first. Fuck Huda.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a fucking scumbag. She's a piece of shit anyway. I never liked her, but yeah. I really liked this one mascara of hers that I was like, oh, this bitch, why do I have to love this mascara? But everything Natasha Denona, Pat McGrath.
Yeah, they're good. Those are really
Charlotte
good.
Tilbury, you know, all that.
Yeah.
You know,
all good.
For the aging woman.
It's like, you know, and as far as like skincare goes, I don't even go with, you know, I'm now going outside of skincare, outside of Sephora. So I'm like falling into skincare that's like new and innovative that maybe hasn't even truly. They've hit the market, but they're not in Sephora yet, or
right.
There's stuff from, you know, the people that do my aesthetics. Then there's Elastin, which is really good. But there's just there's so much good stuff out there, really.
Yeah, well, like at night, my friend Chris, who's a plastic surgeon, has this night serum that I use at night, and that shit will just fucking. Everything.
Yeah.
I use that at night everywhere. It's like it's really intense.
Do you ever use like face oil?
Yes.
I love it. This, you know, the people that make the best face oil, it's called Miraco. It's not even like, you can find them online.
Okay.
But they have this dry, it's like a dry face oil. It is incredible. It's a game changer.
See, I use Natasha Denona's skin glass or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I love that shit. I would just bathe in it.
Well, it's worked out for you. Whatever it is, you're doing right.
Oh, well, thank you, darling. I'm just trying to keep up with you, you pretty bitch.
Oh, please. Hardly.
Stop.
Hardly. Hardly.
Come to your ass.
Come to your ass.
So,
we could do this all day.
I know. So since we've turned this old school, new school comedy into a skincare class.
A YouTube makeup video. A DIY.
A do-it-yourself, Chaz.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
here's a cookbook, sweetie. Put A through L in the oven and M through Z in the fridge.
God.
So tell everybody in the old school, new school comedy land, how long have you been doing stand-up now?
I think I go back to the before the Big Bang I started.
I was telling jokes on the grassy knoll. That's why I was.
I'm telling you. I mean, professionally. Over, God, that's a good answer. You know, I don't even know the answer to that question.
Do you know what year you started?
I mean, I took a comedy class after I graduated college. I mean, I would say 30 years.
Yeah, I'm 28. I hit 28 in December.
I mean, I started when I was 5. So, I mean, it's incredible.
I was my mom's first trimester.
Boy, this womb sure is warm. How warm is it?
Hey, I love this womb with a view. I can see everything from here.
Hey
uterus. Yeah. Hey, uterus. You don't know uterus. Iterus. Uterus, daterus. What's your pronoun, uterus?
Oh, God.
Is this umbilical cord on?
Oh, God.
So,
go ahead.
When did you come to the Comedy Store? Do you remember what year?
Again. I think I'm dying because I have no memory of anything. You're welcome. It's been nice knowing you. I'd like to say 98.
Okay, that sounds about right. I got there in 95.
Oh, you were there in 95? Mm-hmm. I thought you came out at the same time I was there.
Mm-mm. No, I was there as a waitress and doing open mic.
Wait, I did not know you were a waitress there.
Shut up.
I did not remember that. But then again, I'm dying. I don't remember anything. I have no memory. It's all over. I don't know what to say.
No, yeah. you're just a good witness for the mafia. I don't know anything. The hooker was dead when I found her, officer.
Totally. I'm like, huh? What? What happened an hour ago? I don't know.
I'm pretty. That's what I just say.
I just be like, don't let me wander off in the park like grandma. It's over. Yeah, I would probably say like 90, 98.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So wait, but you were a cocktail waitress.
Uh-huh.
And then you started doing open mic. Did you know you wanted to go into comedy when you were a cocktail waitress or?
Oh, yeah. I got the job as a cocktail waitress there because I wanted to be a comic. So I said, I'm going to go to the comedy store. I'm going to get a job as a waitress. And if I get the job, that means I'm supposed to be in that building and learn and do stand up. If I don't get the job, then I'm not supposed to be there and I have to do something else. So when I got the job at the time, the day manager, Dave Schuler, was a big bear. He was like one of the board of directors or president of the LA Bears. So the moment we saw each other, we hit it off. I had the job in 30 seconds. And then we sat for a couple hours drinking tea and making fun of people.
I love it.
So that is when I started. But that's why I got a job as a waitress.
Yeah. Well, because you couldn't get a job as a door guy because
back then,
the comedy store.
Women. Yep. They didn't,
right,
they didn't
the comedy
have
store.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. The comedy store notoriously takes door people and gives them stage time, and
well,
then those door people go on to be famous.
So here's the catch, and this is something that people like to ignore or skate over on certain documentaries. I had to hide from Mitzi doing open mics because waitresses were not allowed to talk to comedians unless the comic was ordering a drink, and they weren't allowed to be there at the comedy store if they were not working.
So what?
Here I am. Yeah. So here, because Mitzi hated waitresses because Sammy ran off with the waitress to Vegas and they divorced. So Mitzi had a thing about waitresses. They couldn't be blonde. They couldn't be comic. They couldn't talk. They had to just be robots. So I'm hiding, and like they'd have the employee list. And like Scott Day and Mike Becker, they'd have the list set up, and Mitzi would have to go over the list for a potluck for all the employees. So they would have a separate list for the cover booth and a list for Mitzi without my name on it to hide me because, oh, the things I'd have to do to sneak around. If she came in the room to do showcases, I'd have to hide in the main room until she left. And then I could come back out. It was crazy. So
that is insane. This is the 90s?
The 90s, yeah. Yep. And so one day they forgot to take the paper out, the typed up paper of the employees for a potluck out of the folder for Mitzi. So Scott Day, Mike Becker, Dave Schuler, Mitzi Shore are sitting at her desk. And she's looking at the list, and all of a sudden they see it, and like Scott's like, oh fuck, and everybody, and Scott and Becker look at each other like, oh no, and James like, shit, don't look at it. So she sees the list and she's reading the employee. She goes, wait a minute, because at this point I was doing phones, I was doing accounting, I was Scott Day's assistant, I was waitress, I did everything. So Mitzi used to call me her all around girl, so I did everything right except door. You know, I was under doormat. So she sees the list and she goes, wait a minute, Christy's a performer? And they were like, oh fuck, she's gonna get fired, right? And she goes, ha, that's great. Oh, I love it. So from that point on, we were able to be there. Like I was able to be there on my nights off doing stand up. I was able to do the mics and do the belly room and do potluck without having to hide from her. Sometimes I would sit with her. It was crazy. So that was
nice.
I broke that barrier.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. I never knew that about her. Never.
She was a monster. Then she lightened up as time went on, and she realized because I wasn't a whore. I should have been, but I wasn't a whore and I wasn't, you know, trash, and I wasn't trying to fuck my way to the top, because she hated that. Because, you know, Bobby Collins married a waitress. Lauren Peltz was fucking Alan Steven, and Eleanor was dating at the time. What was his name? Bill Branca. He was a William Morris agent. And so, like, she didn't like the comics fucker. You can fuck with the industry. She didn't care. But, like, Lauren Peltz fucking around with she was with Alan Steven for a long time. And
I don't know who Alan Steven was.
He was one of the head writers of Roseanne. He's an old school guy. He's like 70. He married Sabrina, Kinnison's ex, and they're together still.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
He lives in Vegas. He's part of the Outlaws, of Kinnison's Outlaws.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
He's old history. But yeah, he was one of the head writers on Roseanne. Him, Dave Tyree, Paul Mooney. Who else? I can't remember. Judy Gold, I think. If I remember right. But yeah, that was all then. But yeah. But she loved me so much because I did so much for her, so she didn't care. So then all of a sudden it was okay for the waitresses to do stand up and all that stuff. And
yeah,
more women got called. Yeah, it was really cool. I was very proud of that. But it's interesting, in certain documentaries, they don't bring that up. They say something else.
Well, they also say, like, they did say, though, that she didn't want. I mean, maybe it wasn't in the documentaries, but it was I'm Dying Up Here, how she didn't want women in the room, in the main room. Remember that? Like,
No, that's not. Well, she, in the 80s, maybe, but no. In the 90s, she had a lot of women in the main room. She was really pro-women. But back in the
90s.
In the 70s and the 80s, it just
the women
was,
just had the belly room, right?
Yeah, they had the belly room or they had the OR. But the belly room was for women, like one woman shows, for women to develop upstairs and then come down into the OR or to the main room or whatever. Like, you know, they all got their start in the belly room because that was a place for them to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she used the belly room for, was for development.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, you know, Mitzi, she never called me by my name. She only called me Barbara. She would just be like, Barbara. And I was just like, God, I'm Sean. But I was like, okay. You know, she saw me do one Streisand impersonation. And from there on, she was like, Barbara, you're funny. And I was like, oh, my name's not Barbara, but I'll answer to it, I guess, if it gets me to the comedy store.
Spots, yeah. Fuck it. Call me whatever you want.
I used to send her, like, holiday cards and birthday cards. And, you know, if it was, like, Passover or something, I'd send her a card. And then it would say, love, Barbara. Because I was just like, and then I was like, a.k.a. Sean Palofsky. That was like, you know, when she was dying and I lived close by, and and Peter let Jeff Scott, may he rest in peace. And he was for the people who don't know, was the piano player for 25 years at the Comedy Store, just a staple and amazing. And so they let Jeff and I in to speak with her. And at that time, she wasn't really speaking. She couldn't speak but she could hear and understand. And she was sitting there with her pretty nails, and I just started talking to her, and then I started answering for her as her. By the way, she was looking at me. It's like, you know what, Barbara? I don't care about that. Can you move to something better than this? I'm tired. Why did you get married? I don't know. Like, I was totally like,
oh,
her eyes.
Most good.
And answering
so
for her. And I'm like, I know, but see, that's a good question. She probably just thought I was absolutely batty when I was doing that. That was like my last chat with her.
But you know what? She probably loved it, knowing her, because you had the balls to do that, do her in front of her and answer for her. She thought that was probably the funniest shit. If she could speak, she probably would have went, Oh, Barbara, main room, 9:30.
It was, you know.
Follow Argus.
Always. I never follow. I always have to bring him up. Never do I not have to bring up Argus Hamilton. I don't know why I've been designated that person.
Oh, it's so fucking funny. Oh, yeah. God, it's just sad. But
but yeah, no, she was an incredible woman. And, you know, and I also remember like kind of pouring my heart out to her at the end and just saying, you know, not many people have believed in me, especially on the industry side. And, and you're the reason why, you know, I'm as good as I am right now. It's because you're this like kind of tour de force that just, you know, I don't know, when you took me on, you gave me something to believe in and look forward to, and to work, like just to work, because that's what the Comedy Store is. It's just hard ass work. It's not simple. The audiences aren't simple. The place is fucking haunted, and everything is like stacked against you. And now everything is PC. I mean, there's just like, there's so many more levels with like society on top of already the notorious air about the Comedy Store.
Yep. The Comedy Store, Earl Skakel and I talked about this one time, and he goes, you could always tell a store comic. I go, yeah, because we've been through hell. We've been in the trenches of war. And I go, you could always tell when someone's from the store, and it's a weird thing when we see each other. Oh, you're a store comic? It's this automatic bond because we know what war is like. And I remember when I was, you know, coming up, I would always ask her, you know, she put me late nights, which was great because that's where you develop, that's where you grow. That was the hardest, and I loved it. I loved the Kinnison spot, loved it. And then she started, I asked her about put me on in the death spot after Mencia, after Joe Rogan, after Dice or whoever, or Eddie, whoever's going on in the 10:30 spot, the headliner for the night, put me in the death spot because I want to get stronger. So she would put me on a lot after Rogan, and it was some of the best fucking training I ever had. And I remember Ricky Taylor telling me one night when I got off stage, like Rogan murdered, like he just fucked the stool for 20 minutes at the end as his closer, and, you know, the crowd's going nuts, and then they go to get up to leave, right? Because it's the second half. So
yeah,
Jeff's at the piano and Rogan's like, it says, all right, Jeff, who's next? And Jeff goes, Christy Miller. And he goes, oh, Christy Miller. And he puts the mic down and walks off. And I go, you fucking asshole. So I went up and I was like, one more time for Joe Rogan. Yeah, it's so funny. I said, so I don't remember the exact words, but it was something to the fact of, yeah, it's so funny how he just dissed me after I was sucking his dick in the parking lot before the show. Then he punched me in the mouth right as I was pulling. It's not like that about something getting punched in the head. The crowd went nuts because they loved him. So they went nuts, and I just fucking surfed it on in. I crushed it. And Richie came to me one night and he goes, you know what, Miller? He goes, you're one of the only comics who can match Joe's energy and bring the show into the second half for late night. He goes, and it's just seamless. And I said, well, we're kind of the same person, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's hard work to follow.
But it made me strong, you know, and put hair on my chest.
I think that's why I feel strong is the opposite of that, that I'm always the opener. I'm always the cold fucking.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always that person that comes out.
You're the bullet
hot. Have to, you know, raise everybody up who's just paid $50 to park, $50 to walk in, $50 per drink, you know, and it's like, you know, as soon as the raping is possibly over, you know, these people are, they're trying to probably come down from all that, and also added to that element are not only, you know, maybe jaded LA people, but a lot of tourists. So you've got these tourists and from all over, because Sunset is this notorious, you know, place and street that people want to go. And Comedy Store is on the map for people who are coming to visit. And it's like, that's a whole nother challenge. And there's nothing worse than when I have worked that room up only to bring somebody who comes in, you know, some guy who will come in, sit on a stool, and just complain and bring it.
Well, like the Bullet Spot, you're kind of hosting the room. You know what I mean? You're hosting. You're the MC, kind of, because you're the first person they see. They're cold, so you got to warm them up, get them zhuzhed. So sometimes it's hard to work on new material because you're trying to work the room to get them zhuzhed so people can have a good show. You know, but it's a spot. So you do your material and it's kind of like it's a bullet. You're taking the bullet. And, you know, and it's a tough spot. And I've only done at the Comedy Store. Like I used to host potluck a lot. I loved it. I loved potluck. I loved hosting it. It was so much.
I ever did potluck. Do you know that?
Really? Oh, I loved it. I loved the freak show it was. I loved the idiots. I loved
still
how.
Still in.
Yep. I miss hosting it. I used to have a ball hosting the potluck. And it was such great times. You know what's really funny is all my years there, Mitzi never gave me a main room spot.
What?
Yep. The only time I did the main room was like specialty shows.
Really?
Yep.
That blows my mind.
I was like Holtzman. I was an OR comic.
That blows my mind.
Always kept me in the OR.
Wow.
Always. There was times I'd go on early, but very rarely. But she would always put me in the Kinnison spot or at 11, which was fine. Like after whoever's name's on the marquee. She'd put me on in the deck spot at 11 or the Kinnison spot and close it out. But I love late night because it's for me, it was like, okay, you guys have been raped for fucking 4.5 hours. You've seen every joke possible.
Totally.
Ever written in human nature. So now I got to go up and do something different that you haven't seen yet. So it challenged me and it was really great. And it was such a great learning experience. So now, like, because of those late nights in the OR following Rogan or following Mencia, going fuck all fucking through his set, you know. And then when I came to New York opening for Paul Mooney, I had no fear. I'm like, fuck it, let's go. And it prepares you so well for the outside world. And then,
I'm ready. Like a beast.
Yeah. And people go, I can't follow her. To me, and I'm like, well, you need to get better then. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, the clubs here suck now. They're terrible. They're really bad.
Really?
Yeah. They have like 14-year-olds booking them all now.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And the ones that all jerk off certain people, like, how many followers do you have? And it's like, here we go. It's gross. Like, it's all gross. And I'm just sick of it. So I just stick to independent rooms and the road because I'm not even dealing with the city anymore. I can't. I just don't have any patience for it.
That's disappointing to hear.
Yeah. So I quit, what's today? Friday? I quit 17 times this week. So just know that.
Oh, it's so funny.
I'm always quitting comedy. I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah. Then I think, like, what else would I do? And I'm like, work at Express.
I know.
But wait, I already did that.
I'm like, well, I could always get a job. Oh, I can imagine. Ugh.
But I used to work there when they used to have that French music that they blasted. Don't you remember? It was loud French music. And it was always like this. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq. I'm like, you know, you're like, fuck. Like, you know, 8 hours a day. You're like, ah.
You're like, make the Statue of Liberty back. I can't take this anymore.
Can't. Oh, my God.
I'm never eating French toast again.
Yes.
Fucking hilarious. Well, I used to work in gyms. That was my thing. I haven't had a day job since like 2015.
Well, yeah, because you're working.
And I'm working, but, you know, I still have to have my side hustle. So I still, you know, have my side hustle to keep a roof over my head. Because I can't get arrested. I can't get booked anywhere anymore.
That's not true.
No, it's true. It's changed so much over the last 4 or 5 years. Because they're like, well, you don't have enough followers to fill the club.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. You should hear the shit I hear. From clubs in the city to clubs on the road. You should hear it. It's so... And I murder. And they're like, oh, you're so funny. But yeah, you can't fill a club. Oh, we love your album. You know?
They should be filling up clubs in general. Like people...
Yeah.
Oh, your established club. Don't you have people that want to come to your club?
Yeah, don't you have a built-in fan base that come on the weekends to see the comedy shows because there's nothing else to do and fuck whoever, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
That's bad.
That's a weird thing for people to say, you know?
Yeah, they're like, you don't have enough followers. You can't fill the room. How are you going to fill the room? I'm like, why don't you just give it a shot?
But don't you travel with Dice?
Because he doesn't want me to.
He doesn't want you to travel with him?
Mm-hmm. Him and I have talked about it. He's loyal to Eleanor, and that's fine.
Oh, that's right. Well,
you know, he's loyal to her.
Sometimes she can't do it, or... No.
Well, there was. I was going out with him regularly.
Oh, so you did go out with him before?
Yeah, in 2019 and 2021. I was working with him again, and it was great. We always have him and I had so much fun together, and shows were phenomenal. The fans were phenomenal. Him and I just laugh and just talk about deep shit all the time, and you know, and it's just we had such a good time. He goes, "Don't ever leave my life again," because I didn't talk to him for many years. Because when I left LA, I just kind of thought, nobody gives a fuck, and I just kind of went into a deep depression and just kind of isolated for quite a few years. And then when Mooney and I split up in 2012, when he started to get real sick, and then all the vultures around him got rid of me and destroyed my friendship with him, then I went into a dark depression for many years that I'm slowly getting out of. So I don't have any, like I told Dice like 2 months ago, we were on the phone because we bullshit on the phone a lot. And I'm like, I go, dude, I don't have a celebrity backing me. I don't have a celebrity taking me on the road or opening doors for me to help me out. I go, I'm a one-man band. It's going to take me 1,000 times longer to get anywhere. And then people look at me like, oh, you've been in the game this long? Well, you're never going to make it, so we're not going to waste time giving you spots. I've heard that before from a club here in the city. And it's like, okay, weird, but all right. But yeah, and then I go on stage and murder, and they're like, oh... Comics complain that they can't follow you. I go, well, that's not my problem.
No, it's not.
Sorry, maybe they should be funnier.
This business is so tricky and so trying, and you know, you gotta have thick skin just to keep getting back up. I mean,
I do. I'm like,
as long as you and I have been doing it, it's just getting back up, no matter how anything makes you feel. Mm-hmm. And really, thank God for comedy because...
Saved my life.
Yeah. And especially in times like these where, you know, the world's probably going to end in about 3 weeks. It's just... Yeah. Sometimes it's the only, you know, outlet.
Yep.
And it's no matter... I mean, I remember going on stage. Mitzi put me on the night after 9/11.
I remember that weekend. Oh, yeah.
I mean, what? And it was like four people in the audience. And it's like,
I remember that night.
It's like, hey, everybody, you ready for some comedy? Terrorists take over. Woo woo!
hey, 3,000 people just died in the building collapse, and there goes our economy. We're going to war. Hey, but did you hear the one about the...
I mean, it was just so weird. And look, I remember going to the club that day, and everybody was standing on corners with candle vigils. You know, like there was a vigil everywhere. And it's like, oh, like you're just driving in this
right.
Oh, God. You know, they're like, put your hands together for John Pulaski. And it was like,
I remember that weekend, like, I think it was like it was a Thursday night or a Friday night after 9/11. And Hugh Hefner was there with like three of his bunnies. They got all three of the ones that he was fucking or married to. I don't know. They all were, you know.
Yeah.
Cunty, Twatty, and Blondie, whatever their fucking names were. And it was such a...
They were all Blondie.
Yeah. They all looked alike, so if he called out the wrong name, it didn't matter. Or if he fell into... Or if he, you know, crawled in next to one, it didn't matter. They all look alike. But, and he came out the back hallway there, and I was coming in the back hallway to... You know, to go to the kitchen to like check in and stuff.
I remember when he was there.
You remember that? And then like we sat outside and bullshitting. He goes, man. And he's like, you know, and we're like, what would bring you here after 9/11? And he's like, well, we got to laugh. You know, it's such a tragic time and we need to laugh. And you guys are providing, you're doing, you know, such a good thing for the spirit because you're making people laugh. And I'm like, no one's laughing tonight. Are you fucking high? You know, like that denial.
I wish I could
jack it on.
I saw him at the store. I remember seeing him there with you know, the coolest person to meet at the store was Florence Henderson.
Oh my, I remember her being there, but I didn't meet her. I don't think I was there that night though.
Yeah, I walked outside after my set and she came up to me. I didn't know she was there and she's like, I really thought you were funny. And I'm like, mom?
like oh my God, it's TV's mom.
I know, I was like, mom? Like, I don't even think I spoke English. I don't even know what I said.
Oh, the coolest people that would show up there to watch the shows. It was so great.
And go ahead.
One of your, besides her, what was like one of your favorite or funniest ones that like of celebrities that would show up to watch the show?
Well, I wasn't there for this, and I was mad. Elon Musk was there.
Ah,
right. But this was before, you know, we knew that, like, he's probably the most dangerous man in the world.
Yes.
But this was maybe, I'd say, 11 years ago. Or 12 years. No. This was probably, like, 10 years ago.
Okay.
Or 9 years ago, he came in. Okay. Yeah, he came in with like an entourage of women. There was like seven of them. But I didn't know that he was in the audience till after my set.
Oh.
Yes, because if I had known, don't you think, why would I skip that opportunity? A, to ask him for money. And B, just to like talk to him. And just like that alone would have been like perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. But my favorite, I don't know. I heard once, and this killed me, that Bette Midler was there. She is my idol.
Yep.
And Jeff Scott, just, you know, he knows how much, we've always talked about how much I love her.
Right.
And Jeff Scott tells me like 3 days later, he's like, oh, you know, Bette Midler was here. And I'm like, now, Jeff, what part about this story did not register to you that maybe I should just text or call Sean so she can run up here and stare at Bette Midler? I didn't even think of that. I'm like, well, what were you thinking? He's like, I think I was just kind of fangirling out. I'm like, I would have called you in a second. So
a heartbeat. Yeah.
I was so bummed I missed her like that. I would have lost my mind.
I loved one night when Larry Flint was there.
Oh, God.
And this was like before he ran for governor. And he was sitting in the main room and all the comics that came off stage, he slipped him $100.
God.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And then who's another one? Then I remember LL Cool J was there one night in the OR with his wife. And I wanted to kick her in the face and like sit on his, you know. He's so pretty. He's so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh my
like
God.
LL Cool J.
Oh, he's so
pretty. Those are cool. I don't know. Like, who else? God, there's somebody else and I can't think.
One night Nikki Sixx was there with his wife.
Oh, I love that.
And he looks so tiny. I always pictured him to be this tall dude, right? Because and he's so like a, what are you, Nikki size six? Like, what is this?
I did once, not at the Comedy Store, but the Improv once.
Uh-huh.
I was standing outside, mm-hmm. and Gene Simmons came up to me.
Oh, yeah.
And he was there with his wife. And he was like, I really like
what you did.
What if, you know how he has that voice?
Probably trying to fuck you, too.
No, his wife was standing near him.
So?
And so I was like, he's like, I really thought you, you know, I was like, Gene Simmons? And then, you know, every year I have a holiday card with like somebody D-list, or it's just really funny. My first one was with like Ron Jeremy. I got Gallagher outside the Comedy Store once, or maybe it was Gallagher's brother. I don't know who the fuck I took it with. And I got one with him. Oh, Emmanuel Lewis was at the Comedy Store once.
Oh, he used to hang out at the Improv. I used to see him I picked him up. No, that was not Emmanuel Lewis. It was Gary Coleman. He was hanging at the Improv. And once
I love it when they confuse them.
Yeah. And they all look alike.
But I took a picture with Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh my God.
And I had a low cut shirt on that night.
Oh yeah.
His head came, you know, to my titties. So there's my titty. And then right next to it is Emmanuel Lewis. So I made a holiday card out of that one, and it was like, Sean, Emmanuel, and the twins would like to wish you a very happy holiday. But yeah, that was really crazy. But when Gene Simmons came up to me outside of the Improv, I was like, okay, this is my holiday card. And
right.
So I did. Nobody would ever ask Gene Simmons to do. Knowing who Gene Simmons is now,
right.
I asked if he'd take a picture with me sticking out his tongue. I'm like, you don't ask Gene Simmons that. He does not want to do that.
Nope.
And he's like, I remember him saying like, I don't do this, but I'll do it for you. And we both had the best, like, it was like, you know, we were like, my boyfriend, I had, you know, it was time of flip phones.
Oh.
And my boyfriend took the picture because he had to hurry and get into his limo. So we had one shot.
Right.
Literally, Christy. It was like Gene Simmons' eyeball. It was like the movie 16 Candles, where it's like, Jay, that's the prom queen. That's Gene Simmons. But it's just an eyeball, and it was blurry. And I was like, how the fuck did you fuck that up?
Oh, of course he did.
I remember that moment, and at least I have that in my memory. That's one thing I remember, because I can't tell you what I did 5 minutes ago.
I know, right? It's weird. The weird things you remember. I remember when Dice, you know, he would come to the Comedy Store in his downfall, like when he got canceled by the gay community back then. Remember, like in the early 90s? Mm-hmm. And he took a tank and he would come to the Comedy Store every night and work on shit every night. And then when people would see Dice, like, oh my God, it's Andrew Dice Clay, and they want to take a picture. And that was when he was hanging out with Wheels all the time, you know, Meals. Yeah. That's what Mooney used to call him. Mooney used to call him Meals because he was fat.
Jess,
yes. Hey sweetie, I found someone that could be, hey,
Jess, hey Jess,
hey Wheels, I thought you were my daughter's son for a minute.
I swear to God, sometimes I'm just walking, and and I go, Chaz, I don't know why I do that. It should be my safe word. What's your safe word, Chaz?
Chaz. So, Andrew, like, the fuck, you know, he loves to fuck with people. He is the ultimate prankster. Like, he is the ultimate, like, fuck with people. He's so funny with that shit. So, back then, he would, like, people like, oh my God, it's Andrew Dice Clay. Can I take a picture with you? So everybody, like me, Wheels, and Don Barris, we were all instructed if we took a picture with him with someone, like, all right, pose. And then right as they go to take it, you like turn it out and get Dice out of it, or you cut the heads off or whatever, took the picture. And back then it wasn't like camera phones where it was instant. It was, you had to take the film to the place and get it developed and wait years to get developed and then go pick them up. So by the time they got home and developed, this was like weeks later. So we would cut his head off every time or just a little bit of the picture completely. So there's a layer. So there's probably thousands of pictures of Dice with his head cut off or not even in the picture. like the people standing there like this, and then he's not even in the picture.
Yeah. Oh, the hijinks.
Oh, the goofiness. We're so silly. Fucking worship you. And when did you do your special Stretch It Out? I know it's on Amazon. Is that right?
Yeah, it came out in 2018. So I shot it the year before.
Right.
And so it's been a while, but I'm working on the next one already because I'm, you know, I have a little bit of new material since since some fun shit happened to me. And
you lost a lot of weight.
Huh?
You lost a lot of weight in this last year.
Uh-huh. 191 pounds of Brazilian weight. Yes.
Yep. She had a legitimate Brazilian wax.
Yes. Clean that shit out.
Yep.
That's
awesome.
That's like my goal. One of my goals. One of them. So, just gonna try to focus on that and get that done and work out the new stuff and, you know, just keep hustling. That's just all we got to do, Chrissy. And you're good at it. So you keep going. You keep doing. You get back up.
Yep. I have to work on my second album, which I'm slowly, but it's like it's going slower than I'd like it to.
Don't worry about that. You know what I mean? Like it will happen. You'll make it happen. It's like, you know, we've got no choice but to keep doing this because this is like
I know
what we do.
Yeah.
Or I don't. It's back to Express. Un, deux, trois. Ten G.
Or it's back to me working at a gym. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two more.
I wish you did live here. I swear to God, you would have me in tip-top shape.
Oh, yeah, you would. Oh, yeah, you'd be. Yeah, I wouldn't allow you to not be.
I don't eat clean, though, and I do. I will have a cocktail. So I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to change that because it's just way too much fun.
I haven't had a drop of alcohol. I never really liked it when I drank. Like I'd have two drinks and I was done. Like the more buzz I get, the more I couldn't drink anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't take me much to.
I don't like
about one and a half to feel any, you know, I don't drink a lot. But I like a good Jack Daniels and Diet Coke. I like it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you should have.
Especially when I'm at the club, you know? Right. Like, you know, you're hanging out, you're doing.
Why not? You know, if you enjoy it, then you should do it. I just don't like it. I don't like the way it tastes. I don't like the way I feel. I'd rather drink water.
It keeps you, like, alcohol's not really, it's not that great for your body. So I wish I didn't, but
my drug of choice is the iron. Like my free time, like after we wrap up this show, I'm going to the gym and doing squats.
God, that's my hell. I love you for that. That you can that's your drug. I wish that was mine.
I love feeling. I just train myself to be hard to kill. That's all I worry about is being hard to kill. And I love being strong. And the stronger I get, the more empowered I feel.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to take you down. You've been through a lot. So no one took you down yet.
Nope. I'm like Rocky. You know, you get hit, you come back, you hit harder. You know, you get back up and you keep fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love you. So I love to wrap this show with two silly questions. And the first question is... By the way, you look really pretty on the screen.
Oh,
first question is, shut up. Don't talk about my friend.
I'll marry you next.
Hey, scissor sister. Hey, Chaz. Hey, rock, paper, scissors, vagina.
Woo. Yes, Chaz. You want a scissors?
Yeah. Hey, bring your mangina over for dinner.
So, Chaz.
I'm going to do that all day.
All day. It's contagious. Yeah.
And
if I cuss somebody out, it's not fun. But if I cuss you out as Cher, it's fucking hilarious. So.
Funny. It's always funny. So,
my first question, as I always ask the comics, is there a bit a comic has done that made you go, God damn it, that's brilliant. I wish I had written that. And what was it?
Oh, God. There are so many.
Mm-hmm. I have a list like this long.
Yeah, it's a toss-up. I mean, here's one I wish I would have thought of. I can't do it verbatim, but it's Lisa Sunstedt's bit where she talks about how, you know, when you go on a first date and it's always like awkward, and then the rose lady comes around. And, you know, what, you know, now it puts you in a situation like, what is that guy supposed to do? And they're like, you know, and they're like, one rosa for the lady, you know, and they're like, you're sitting there and what is that guy going to do? Because if he doesn't buy you one, he looks cheap. And then if he does buy you one, then you're stuck with that huge rose, that one big huge rose. And so she, you know, within her bit, she talks about how a guy bought her the rose. And she's like, you know, great, you know, now I'm going to have to blow him, which makes me laugh. And so she's like, she holds the mic like it's the full rose.
Hilarious.
And then she's like, and then we went to the movies and now I'm stuck with this huge rose. I don't know what to do. You can't throw it away because you're like, I love this rose. You got to act like you love this stupid fucking big giant rose. And then she's like, and now we're standing in line for the movie. And then she has the mic like it's the rose.
Oh, that's so
people
funny.
Are like, oh, how sad that girl got the rose. And it just makes me laugh because it's so universal.
Yeah.
Yet it is so in front of all our faces. And
yep. Yeah, I love those jokes. So you go, God damn, it was right there.
It's there. It's there. Yep. And just the physicality of just the mic being like the whole rose just makes me laugh.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best jokes.
But anytime, like, she's on stage, even if she doesn't ask, even if she doesn't want anyone to interrupt her, I'll yell, do the rose! Which is creepy. Like, why am I doing that to her? Like, she's a professional, but I cannot help myself.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, is torture. That's what we do to each other. We torture people. I have friends of mine that, like, call out shit. So I just go to them before I go on stage now. Any requests? Because I know you're going to call shit out. So just request it now.
Yeah.
The last question is, because this is, you know, because Paul Mooney used to close his set. He used to wrap up his shows with street jokes, but he would Mooneyize them. And he would just murder with street jokes, you know, but he had this little Mooney twist to him. So do you have a go-to street joke you like to tell? And is there that you love? Because they're all stupid, but they're fun.
Okay, yeah. It is, okay, let me remember this. This is
that memory.
Yeah, okay. What did the DNA say to the other DNA?
What?
Do these jeans make me look fat? Anyways. Get it?
Jeans.
I love a jeans make me look fat joke. Why not?
Hello.
Yeah. Sure. Paul Mooney can make that a lot funnier. So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, homie. Oh, yeah. Oh, homie.
It's a good impression.
Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on, Christy. And it's just always, it's so good. It's like, again, it's like, just seeing family.
Yeah.
It's like a reunion to see you. And I'm super proud of you. And I remember how we started and you're doing great. So don't ever think that you aren't just kicking ass and taking names. You are. It's hard not to compare yourself to others in this business, but honey, you're a hustler and you got a bunch of queens around you, and not many people can say that they have that type of following or people behind them. So you do.
Well, so do you. And I'm just really excited about everything, that's all the great things that have happened in your career. You deserve it so much. You're so funny and you're so deserving. And I miss you to death. And
you're the best.
And I'm here 24 hours a day for you. You know that. You know that.
Yeah. Econ, likewise.
You know,
likewise, Chaz.
Yeah, likewise. Hey, sweetie, likewise, potato chips. You likewise.
Oh, Chaz. Chaz.
I hope everybody does that from here on. Chaz.
Yep. Well, that's even though it's scrolling across the bottom of this, tell everybody where they can find you on the social medias, and if you have anything coming up you want to plug, darling.
You can. Well, my website is, it's a little easier than my name, hahachick.com, hahachick.com, or you can follow me at Sean Pawlowski on really any platform, social media platform, because there isn't any other.
So lucky. I, on the other hand, have to put comedy past mine, because there's a Christy Miller series of Christian books from when I was a kid
that I'm still out.
So when the good Christians in their cul-de-sac, in their, you know, uptight Handmaid's Tale, Google my name and they get me.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. Two opposites.
So
hilarious.
Right? It's so great. And be sure to check out her special, Stretch It Out, on Amazon Prime. And be on the lookout for her new one. You can also download my album, Brutally Yours, on iTunes, Apple, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon Music, wherever you stream. That's my shitty plug. And
awesome.
Don't forget to follow us. You can follow us here at Old School New School Comedy on Instagram. You can follow me at Christy Miller Comedy. You can follow her at Sean Pawlowski. And don't forget to hit like, subscribe, and share the show. We love
it.